Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning was the Good Samaritan. We all know a story of an outsider stranger who helps someone who's been beaten and robbed, and two other people who should have shown God's grace and mercy to, but didn't. The outsider went above and beyond anything we could have imagined doing ourselves. I mean, honestly, I probably wouldn't have paid to put him up in a room with room and board until he was well again. That's just, it doesn't seem like something we do these days. You know, he could have simply rendered basic first aid like I would have done and be like, and then we would look at him and be like, hey, this guy, he's pretty awesome. Look at what he did. He bandaged up this guy and went about his way. He really took care of him. Now, just being sure someone calls an ambulance for someone that's hurt is almost as far as some people in our communities would go. And look at us. I mean, we're Christians, and we're saying that just these small steps are huge deals in our society, in our culture. But the dynamics in this story Jesus is telling boil down to, again, that basic commandment that Jesus has given us. And we heard it in the first part of the scripture, Lord, the love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then that little second part that follows it up, and your neighbor? Wasn't that in there? All right, just checking. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's really no way to confuse that with any other prerequisite or any pre-existing conditions that may be before that. There's no, I'll love my neighbor only if they look like me or are married like me or have kids like me, only speak the languages that I speak. Those are what we call human constructs and often play to our own insecurities. Anyways, moving on to the issue we have before us today, looking at gun violence and thinking about ways in which the Bible instructs us surrounding gun violence might seem like a stretch, but in the end, and this is one of my favorite phrases, you can ask Pastor Romy, it's all connected. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The Samaritan helped out that stranger on the side of the road despite the circumstances that were in existence. He loved that guy just like he loves himself. And we see that this road is obviously a dangerous place. The man got robbed and beaten half to death. Some may say he shouldn't have been in that neighborhood or any other number of less than stellar excuses. But in Jesus, showing how unholy the priest and the Levite were through their inaction as instruments of God's mercy, I'm always bothered by the underlying facts and issues that have caused this problem and have allowed those who we would expect to respond to not do anything. Let's take, for example, let's say one day the boiler makes a funny noise, but it only does it a short while and goes back to operating normally. What do you do? Shrug your shoulders and say, okay, it's working again. We're all good. Don't tell anyone. Don't call the oil company. Don't tell the trustees about it. Just shrug it off and say, ah, there's probably nothing wrong. Or, you know, it could be a steam boiler and it could be cracked and there could be cold water pouring into a hot steam boiler, because that's a perfect recipe, isn't it? No, you address the issue at its root cause and you deal with it to make sure it works as well as it can and efficiently as it can. So there was a crime on the road in the story, so somewhere it is more profitable in someone's eyes to beat and take someone else's possessions. So I got to thinking, what socioeconomic situations have caused crime to be more profitable than working a job? Is crime happening in a poorer area and those who are lucky enough and can afford to get out do so? And this poor guy just happened to be one of those unlucky statistics that we so often hear about who suffer at the hands of violence? What current political situation is happening in the region? Is there a puppet government installed? Is it easier to start a riot and run someone over while khaki and polo-clad white nationals march with tiki torches and others pop off shots in the middle of crowds? Because I'm still not over the evil that happened in Charlottesville. I'll be honest, I've always tried to be politically correct in sermons and when I've been talking in front of church folks, and I try to avoid labeling people's, labeling some subsect of humanity. But you know what? I'm going to quit trying to be so PC and quit trying to not offend everyone, because sometimes we just can't go around and offer care and compassion to those who are in dire straits, but sometimes we need to go around to those who are comfortable and complacent and cause some conflict. Because let's accept the fact that Jesus offended folks, especially those whom he knew were trying to silence or discredit him, or those people who were the least of these that were suffering at the hands of their leaders. Let's call it like it is. Guess I'm going to start doing so. The same with injustice. They're racist. They're white supremacist. There's nothing alternative about them. And did y'all ever stop and think that that term was coined to help humanize their hate, their bigotry, and their evil? Because Lord knows I sure did. Because the United States, we got a little problem. And the problem is that we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. It's easier for us to hate each other and our neighbors and then only concern ourselves with our own well-being. Look at it from my perspective. I live in Port Washington. I have a decent job, or at least I did until today. I have a beautiful family. My kids are in great schools. We're living that wonderful American millennial dream of paying off student loans and maintaining at least some sort of a social life. I got it pretty good. Why should I worry about anyone else, right? I should come into my job and make everyone feel special and loved and happy and go home and then do it all over again the next week. After all, isn't that what church is all about? And silence. Getting your spiritual fix, so to speak, for the week to make sure your eternal salvation stays intact? Well, the short answer is no. Jesus was a man of his word and a man of the word, but more importantly, Jesus was the fulfillment of that word. Jesus' life and death was meant to bring each of us life and to bring each of us peace, but we fail because we get comfortable. After all, you know, I'm not the one looking for some place that is safer so I can raise my family in peace. Sometimes when I leave the house only for a little bit, I don't even lock the door. Sorry. Don't even lock the door sometimes. And I woke up to someone who broke into our house one time watching us sleep in his underwear. That's how safe I feel here in Port Washington. You know, why should I care if kids are separated and parents deported without their little ones? Because I'm still not over that evil that descended upon our country, upon my country, with this inhuman crime. You know, I can keep going on with how we as not just the people who call this country our home, but how we as humans have utterly failed in loving our neighbor. There's an inherent evil that has played to the insecurities of us for the last few years now and has burst forth into a wildfire greater than anything California has ever seen. There are topics that even just mentioning their name will elicit raging rants. And guess what one of them is? Gun violence. You guessed it. African American moms telling their kids don't be out after dark because every time their son leaves the house, they worry he may not come back home alive. Veronica doing a lockdown drill at Guggenheim because of the rise of gun violence instances in school. Even our own preschool here in this church does lockdown drills. Can you believe that? And the fact that concealed carry reciprocity would allow states with the loosest gun laws, like, you know, let's say needing to re-fingerprint an applicant because their fingerprints were not good enough the first time, only to receive that concealed permit in the mail a short time later without ever going back to be re-fingerprinted, to come to states where the laws are obviously needed and allowed to carry in public places. I wouldn't tell you that if it weren't a true story. Imagine people carrying on the subway in the middle of summer. Imagine those very fine people from Charlottesville descending upon our home, upon our town, to march. You know, gun violence, it's linked to every societal ill we have. You can't talk about one without addressing all of the others. For poverty, the reasons people live in poverty and cannot and are not able to move up in society, crime, mental health, physical health, and it's not just mass shootings that take lives, but suicide as well. It's an unsecured gun that should be locked away, found by a little child with a worst-case scenario. It's the misfire of a pistol in a pocketbook in a crowded store. It's an unsecured shotgun that blasts a 2-inch hole in your thigh, bow hunting in the woods. That one's personal. There were times I wondered why they didn't take my uncle's whole leg off during that ordeal. We fail miserably at healthcare, even though we have the best doctors and hospitals in the world who do some of the most amazing research and come up with drugs that can save lives and increase the quality of life. Then again, you can always jack up the price of insulin because they're going to pay for it, aren't they? It may seem hopeless. It might seem like it's the darkest time right now, but there is hope. There are those that dream for a day when caring for our elderly parents won't be as much of a struggle, where we can keep them together, where better options are going to exist. There are those that dream for a day when the bonds of a family with a baby will get the time they need. The Methodist Church we think of as generous with their 8 weeks, but some countries allow up to 3 years, granted of a lessened income, but a guaranteed job when that period is up. There are those that dream for a day when we will be known for the care we give those seeking safety instead of tossing them into a tent city in the middle of a desert. There are those that will dream for a day when white supremacists won't feel emboldened by our leadership, and I pray to God that day may come again quickly. There are those that dream for a day when the headlines won't feature another mass shooting in a school, in a nightclub, or in a theater. But the leadership has to know that this is what we expect. This is what we as a church, as United Methodists, as a people that believe in God and who worship together as one body united through Christ, have to say, and it cannot be a fractured voice. We actually have to fulfill that one word in our name and be united. That said, I think of a fish that is often united with other fish of the same species, piranha. They're a very effective group, aren't they? But their methods are not necessarily the ones we would like to be associated with, is it? You get to thinking about it. Maybe a dolphin. They work well in small groups and under the right circumstances can join together with thousands of other dolphins. Or a whale, what about that heartbreaking mama whale that kept her baby that had passed away for weeks with her? You want to talk about the beautiful holiness of God's creation? Well, that right there was the culmination of it for me. So in our faith and in our church, there's going to come a day when change is inevitable. And Jesus called it around 2,000 years ago and paid for it with his life. So we are here today, continuing that change, continuing the push for God's love in our world. So may we be the goodness in this world, our country, and in our state, and in our community of Port Washington. May we come together for the betterment of all and not just for a few. May we seek solutions for the problems in our society, and may we not rest until senseless loss of life through gun violence ends. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks be to God. So as was said earlier this morning, we are collecting a special offering that's going to go to benefit the Sandy Hook Promise that pushes awareness of gun violence in our society and seeks the change that we so need and so desire in our state and in our country. So as they collect this special offering, let us rise for our closing hymn, "My Soul Cries Out with a Joyful Shout." Nope, sorry, never mind, we have special music. Growing pains.